Okay, we're in the middle of sugya number 16, and when we resume, we're going to be at the bottom of Yud Gimel Lamed Beis, and the issue is, we're reversing things now, when Katshe Kalim does damages, and specifically a Korban Shlomim. When a Korban Shlomim, an animal that's been designated as a Korban Shlomim, if it damages something else, how is the payment determined? That's the central issue. And Rav Avah made the following statement. He said, if a shlamim damaged, we collect from the meat and not from the emurim. And we explained that every korban shlamim is divided up into two parts. After the animal is sacrificed, there is the larger part, which is the meat, the flesh, that goes to the owner. And that is one part. Another part is called the emurim. Emurim are the parts that are burnt up on the mizbech that belong to Hashem. So now, when this animal damaged, there's really two parts of this animal that did the damage. The part of the flesh that belongs to the owner, and the part of the emurim that's going to belong to Hashem. So now, how do we exact payment from the owner? Exactly who's the owner? Although we've said, Rabbi Yosef Glili says, that korban shlamim belongs to the owner, and therefore if it gets damaged, right, then there's a halacha of paying back the owner. But the question is now, okay, now the animal's doing the damage. So how much gets paid? So he says, if a shlamim damages, we collect from the meat and not from the emurim. And we have to add, really we should say a korban shlamim, and I should add a tam. Because we're talking about a tom, an animal that gored the first three times, where we only collect from the animal and not beyond the animal. So as we gave an example, let's say an animal damaged another animal worth $200. So you would pay half of the value, which would be $100. So let's say half of that. So if let's say the animal that gored was worth $200. Okay, you're going to pay. So now, of the 200, let's say $150 was meat, and 50 was a murim. So now we pay half of that. So we pay 75. Because 75 of the 150. But what about the other 25? Can't I collect it from the emurim? No, that belongs to Hashem. You don't collect from Hashem. So Rabbi Yav is saying, although the damage should have paid 100, because that's half of the damage, and you only can collect from the animal, but we only collect half of, from what? From the meat. So you only get 75, and the guy loses out the 25. So Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Point two, because the emorim belong to Hashem. She says, no, we might have thought the following, that you pay 100, and the 100 is from the meat, and, you, and the 25 that should have gone from the emurim, we say, well, if the other one can't pay, you go back to the original one that could pay, and you pay a little bit more. That's what we might have thought. That's the insight. And we say, no, we're only sticking with the 75, and if the other one doesn't pay, there's nothing to pay. Then we say, well, according to which Tana is these words of Rabbi Abba? Because we see there's a big machlokes in Baba Kama between the Chachamim and Rav Nosson, when we said the case was where an animal pushed another animal, but it pushed it right into a pit, and now the animal dies. So now we have really, on the one hand, two contributing factors to the death of the animal, and how much has to be paid. So there were two opinions over there, and the question is, if there's not enough money to collect from one, from the animal, can you collect from the owner of the pit or not? And the Chachamim, or the opinion that says, if we can't collect from one, we do not collect from the other one to compensate as well. So if the shore, the owner of the ox, there's not enough to pay for the damage, we do not go to the animal, to the owner of the pit. No, the animal of the pit. So Gemara suggested that this would be like the Chachamim. Because that's what we're saying. If you can't collect from the meat, from the emurim, you don't collect from the meat. So let's say that's like the chachamim. So that's what we point. That was point five. Let's say it's like the chachamim, and we rejected it by saying that that's obvious. Chachamim say that when we cannot collect from one of the two damagers, we do not collect from the other to compensate. So there wouldn't be any insight. Already have the chachamim in a mishnah. Rabbi Abba wouldn't be adding anything. So he can't be going like the chachamim. And if you're going to say it's like Rav Nosson, who says if you can't collect from one, you do collect from the other, then the law would be different. Then he'd say you would collect the extra 25. And that's point 7 and 8. If it's like Rav Nosson, no, he says that when we cannot collect from one of the two damagers, we collect extra from the other to compensate. And that would not be the law that Rabbi Abba is saying over here. And that's where we left you yesterday on the cliff. So now we're going to continue, and basically let me tell you what the direction of the answer, so our minds will be ready to take it that way. The Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Abba can really be like either one of the Tanoim. And his statement will be, it doesn't matter if you look at Chachamim, his statement will offer an insight, or even like Rabbi Abba, his statement will offer an insight. And therefore, his statement will hold. In other words, we ask, well, you know, either you're holding like this rabbi, then what have you added? If you hold the other rabbi, then your law is wrong. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to show you that even if I hold like the Chachamim, there is an insight to teach. Or even if you want to say like Rav Nosson would agree in this case. So that's the insight that Rabbi Abba is saying, that notwithstanding an argument in the Mishnayos, they both would agree to this law. Now that's an insight. You're going to say, everyone could agree to my law, and therefore my original law will stand in that case. So now we've got to go through and explain how that works. Okay, so now we're back into the Gemara. Wrong one. Back into the Gemara. Ibois Ema Rabbanan. This is the seventh line from the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph.
Okay.
Okay. Can I get a little bigger? Okay. So he says, Rabbi Nosson is going to answer. If you want, we could say Ibois Ema. That's important bread and butter words to know. Ibois Ema. Ibois. If you want Ema to say. If you want to say, we could say it's Rabbanan. Okay, we could say it's Rab. 1 second. Okay, no. I jumped. We go back a line. Yeah. This is the answer. Is like this. Ebois, one more line before. Ebois, same Rab Nosson. If you prefer, I could say that this ruling goes according to Rab Nosson. Even though you said, how could it be? He wouldn't agree to that. Or if you want, if you want, I can say it's like the Rabbanan, and you said, what's the insight? I'm going to show you what the insight is. So it's going to go both ways and show you the law could be like either one. So we're going to start with the Rabbanan first. If you want, we could say the Rabbi Abba's ruling follows the rabbis. And our question was, well, then it's obvious. The rabbis say if you cannot collect from one, you do collect from the other. You don't collect from the other. So Rabbi's just saying the same thing. So what's the insight? He'd say, no. Maybe the rabbis only say you don't collect under a certain circumstance. But I might think in a different circumstance, yes. Now what's the existential difference between the case of the Rabbanan, where you have a ox pushing an animal, and a pit that is part of it's going to get damaged, versus the case here where you've got the flesh and the emurim causing the damage. There is a difference between those cases. And what's the difference? He's going to say the following. Hani Mili, you know where the rabbis say, when you can't collect from one, you don't collect from the other? Betray Goofy. When there are two different parties involved in the damaging.
Two entities.
In the case of the Rabbanan, you had the owner of the ox was one person, and you have the owner of the pit was a separate person. And there's two separate parts to the damaging under two separate owners.
Right.
So therefore, you'd say, for if not for his ruling, you might have thought that this ruling, the rabbis disallowing collection from a second party, applies only where the two parties are two bodies. Two separate entities, such as an ox and a pit.
Right. Here it's
in
one
this
animal.
Case, the damages that cannot be recovered from one party cannot be recovered from the other party. Because it's two separate parties. So that's only when the rabbi said their law. If you can't collect, the other guy says, it's not my problem, go to the first guy. Avo bechad gufa. But when it's in one body, over here, it's one animal. You can't say it's two separate animals. The animal has two parts, but it's one animal. where the two damaging parties are part of a single body, such as the meat and the sacrificial parts of a shlamim ox, I might have said that the damaged party can say to the damager the following. The rabbis may even agree. From whichever portion of animal I'm able, I want to recover. Because it was both the same animal, the same source of damage, even though it's two different owners, because one is the owner, one is God. But it's the same being that created the damage. And I could get whatever I want. Let's look at point 22, explains this. For the meat and sacrificial parts are not at all regarded as two damagers, rather they're one single damager. The rabbi said, when there's an animal who pushes it into a pit, so the one who pushed in pays. But you said, what if there's not enough? Let's go to the other guy. The guy says, wait a minute, I'm a separate guy. What do you want from me? The other guy did the main damage. That's when the rabbi said, you don't collect the extra part. And if the other guy is not going to pay, you don't make the guy owner of the pit pay. It's a separate guy. But here, it's the same animal. It's one animal. They're both engaged in the damage. So now I might say, if the other one can't pay, we go back to the first one. To which you're saying, no, we do not go back to the first one. That's the insight. We don't make the owner of the meat pay anymore, even though it's the same animal. I don't do that. Therefore, it was necessary for Rabbi to teach that this reasoning is incorrect, and we still don't make him pay. I might have thought, yes, because it's one body. That's Rabbi Abba's insight. When did the rabbis say, if the one guy doesn't pay, we still don't go back to the other guy because it's two separate bodies? But here, when it's one body, I would think you go to the guy. And that's what he's saying. No, we do not go back even under those circumstances. Boy, same if you want, I could say the same insight, the same law, according to Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim says, you do go to the other guy and get the money. So then it wouldn't fit over here. So he said, no, it's different. Awesome, over there. Who the Amr lay Bala Sharla Bala Bor? What does the owner of the ox say to the owner of the pit? Right? So there, Reb Nosson rules that the damages that cannot be recovered from one can be recovered from the other. You know why? Because for the owner of the damaged ox says the owner of the pit, Ana Toroi Bebira Ishtakach. My ox was found in your pit.
It's your pit that found my ox.
So it's your pit that completed it. No, you've completed the damage. Yeah. You know, you don't think it wasn't part of the damage. So, my delay shlume meach, mishlume meach. According, whatever I cannot recover from the other, the damage or the ox, I'm gonna recover from you, because you were part of the damage. Don't tell me you weren't part of the damage. You were part of the damage. That's why he holds you got to pay. Now let's see if this takes me to the next page. I'm going to go to Gimel and Beis. I'm going to do it. Yes, it is. That's over there. Aval Hocha, but here, where it's the same meat in the case of Shlomim. Mi Matzis Amar Basar Azik Imurim Lo Azik. But over here, the case of Shlomim, can the damaged party claim that the meat damaged, but the sacrificial parts didn't? In other words, can he rightfully attribute the damage to the meat more than to the sacrificial parts? He can't. According to the damage of the half damage that is uncollectible from the sacrificial parts cannot be collected from the meat. Okay. Now, this is a little bit tricky. You have to hear what's Reb Nosson saying. Reb Nosson said we go to the owner of the pit and say you got to pay because your thing didn't damage. It did its own unique part of damage. So see, so unique part of damage you pay. But over here, so it's like what you say is, well, the ox did one part of the damage and the pit did a different type of the damage. So now if the ox can't pay, then the pit pays. But over here, it's not like, he's saying you can't attribute the damage to the meat more than to the sacrificial parts. So it's not the sacrificial parts did a separate kind of damage. So since it didn't do a separate kind of damage, so it's not like here, one thing, push, and then boom, a second thing. Here was only one thing. And it's as if the meat alone did the damage. You really don't need the sacrificial part. don't really need sacrificial part, didn't do anything extra. Yeah. They say that sacrifice is an extra part. Yeah. So therefore we'll say you don't collect from, that's when he'll agree you don't collect from the sacrificial part. So therefore, Rab Abba's Chiddush is a good one according to either opinion, and it's an insight according to both ways. And that's what the notes are going to tell us here. Point number 9. Answer. This can be like either Tana. It can be like the Chachamim. Why? Because they said that one damager does not pay the other's share only when there are two damagers. When there's one damager, perhaps they admit that we collect from whoever we can. And I'll add, and Rav Abba's insight is that he cannot collect. That's the insight. Second, it could be like Rav Nassim. Rav Nassim, he said it's law only regarding a pit, for the victim complained, my ox is in your pit. What I cannot collect from the ox that pushed my ox, I will collect from you. Right?
From the pit owner.
Here, one cannot say that the meat without the emurim caused all the damage. You can't say that. So this is kind of together. So if you collect from one, you don't collect from the other. So the resolution is exactly what the original statement was. If a shalomim damaged, we collect from the meat, not from the emurim, the parts of korban offering the mizbech. This ruling is according to everyone now, not just the chachamim. It's an insight according to chachamim, and it's accepted according to Rav Nosson. And therefore, you only collect half, and the damaged party will lose.
Yeah, so the owner of the pit is off the hook completely.
No pit here.
No
this
pit.
Is the case of the God part doesn't get collected.
Yeah.
So if you pay half from the meat, and if the guy doesn't get enough, he loses out.
Okay.
We collect not from the emurim. We should add over here in this statement over here, and therefore the damaged party could stand to not be
fully
reimbursed. Okay, that's that sugya. Finished. Okay, now we're going to start a new, very short sugya. Very short.
But did we do the resolutions? Or the,
yeah.
Oh, they're
it's the same thing as the original statement.
Yeah.
Just copy and paste the original statement. That's the resolution. We go with that law. That law is the halacha. Okay, let's take one more little piece. It's a very easy thing coming up now. Very short and very easy. Okay, next point. So we talked about a shlomim damaging. Now we're going to talk about another type of kutchim damaging. Omar Rava, new sugya. Rava says the following. What about if someone separated an animal as a korban toda, as a thanksgiving offering? Okay, and then that korban toda turns around and damages someone else. Korban toda is also kutchikalim. It's also kutchikalim. It also belongs to the owner. So the owner would appear to have to pay as well. But here's this one extra thing about a korban toda that other korbanos don't have. Korban toda, when I say that this animal is a korban toda, not only am I did I make this animal holy, I have to bring a korban toda, there's an obligation to bring 40 breads.
That's right.
With a korban toda. That's huge. 40 chalas, matzahs, whatever, 40 breads. And that's a lot of bread, and the toda is very little bit of time to eat. Right? So just keep that law in mind, and we'll see how this law applies. Amar Rava. Rava says the following. Toda shehizika, a korban toda that makes a damage. Gova mibisara, you collect from the meat. Again, same idea, the meat. And there obviously will be some burned parts as well. We don't have to talk about you don't collect from the emurim, the sacrificial parts. We already know that. Collecting the meat, but here's this odd statement. The second half is the odd part. Ve'ena gova milachma. And you don't collect from the 40 breads.
How many breads wouldn't have been damaged in the first place?
Well, that's going to be the question. We're saying we collect from the meat of the animal.
But did the damage?
Did the damage. But not from the 40 breads.
Yeah.
But that's the statement. That's the statement. Come on, right away jumps on that. Lechem. Bread, pshita, obviously you don't collect from the bread, because as Rashi says, Allah, the bread didn't damage. What are you talking about? What's the whole point of your statement?
But
you don't collect from the breads. The breads didn't damage.
Well, are we going after the owner or after the...
When a korban shlamim tam damages, you only pay from the animal.
But the owner of that tam, that korban,
again, the
owns
tam,
the breads too.
He Why owns the bread, but you don't call it. What if you have? Forget about kachim. I have a
tam.
I have a tam.
Yeah.
I'm a multi-billionaire.
Right.
And I have a tam that damages. Yeah. How much is the victim going to be able to collect? Half of the damage, okay. And it can only come out of the animal.
That's it.
That's it. You don't collect from other properties from a town. A mu'ud, you collect the full
from. When we dealt with the property that was
That's not a tom. That's not a tom.
Then we went to the second one.
I understand, but that's by land.
Yeah, but it was one
we're not talking about an animal, a korban, a tom damaging.
Okay.
When a tom and a short tom damages, it only pays half from its body. That's it. Any other type of damage you collect beyond.
Yeah, okay.
Here you're talking about a tota. That's a tom. We only can collect from the meat. You can only collect from the animal. We can't even collect from the emurim, because that belongs to God. And just like I can't collect from any other money that the owner has, I don't collect from the breads. So what's the whole point? Obviously you don't collect from the beds. What was Rava trying to teach us? You don't collect from the beds. And therefore, what's really the whole point of the whole statement? So that's the question. Answer. No, you know what? You're right. But let me finish. I had one more line to say. The Chiddush isn't here. The Chiddush is in the next line of Rava. Seifa Itzrachle. The first line is not an insight, but Rava said one more line. He's setting you up for the insight. The insight's coming up. Okay, now what's the insight? The insight is as follows. Now what's going to happen? So let's see what's going to happen now. You got to pay from that meat. So what do we do exactly? Okay, we can't just give the meat. We have to take the guy's been damaged. He wants to collect $100 worth of meat. We now take the korban tota. We have to sacrifice it.
Yeah.
We sacrifice it. Now the damaged party gets all the meat that he's supposed to get the payment, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Now there's 40 breads. Now here's the question now. Who should pay for the 40 breads? And you're wondering, what do you mean we should pay for the 40 breads? The guy who gave the korban tota should pay for the 40 breads.
He's hosting
the wait a minute. But the guy ain't eating any of the meat.
Right.
The damager may turn around and say, wait a minute. If you're eating the meat, then you should pay for the breads. Why should I pay for it? I'm not even getting the meat. As we'll see, the breads, if the owner will not give the breads, it's a serious problem. You can't eat the meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without the breads, you can't eat the meat. The guy's saying, listen, I've got to pay you the meat, and you're getting off the hook. You don't pay the breads. I think you should pay the breads, and I shouldn't pay the breads. And that's the insight of Rava. Rava's going to say, the next line is the insight. Here's the insight.
Safer.
Nizak ochel basar, basar kama. Nizak, we're the third line from the top, right? Nizak, the damaged party, ochel basar, eats all the flesh. That he's worth to get it. But umiskaper, the guy who gets the atonement, the owner of the korban, maybe Lechem has to bring the breads. Okay? That's the insight. That's what we're saying. The insight is not the first line that you pay from the meat. He collects the meat and the owner pays for the bread. And you don't collect from the bread. That's not an insight. The insight is the next line. The damaged party eats the meat and the owner pays for the bread. So now the Gemara say, wait, I don't get that. What are you talking about? Wait a minute.
Who eats the bread? The damaged party?
No.
Let's see what's going to happen.
Mazik pays for the bread.
Yeah. No. Come on. Ha, nami pshit. Wait a minute. This also is obvious. I mean, who else should bring the bread if not the one gaining the atonement? Well, obviously, he brings the bread. So the answer is no. Mahu the tema, without Rava's teaching, I would have thought differently. Why? Because here's the rule. Kivan de lechem hachshira de zevachu. Because the bread is what qualifies the animal to be eaten. Let's look at point number 3 at the bottom. Without the accompanying bread, the soda sacrifice does not fulfill the obligation of the person that brought it, and he must bring another. He must bring another. If you don't bring the breads, you'd have to bring another. So now, if that's what's critical for this korban being a good korban, so lay malay, let the damager say to the damaged party, I would have thought he could say the following. At ochalas basar, you get to eat the meat. Va'ana aisi lechem, and I have to bring the bread? You're benefiting by eating the meat. You should be the one to bring the bread. Because the meat really only works if the bread's bought. So I think that if you're getting the meat already and you're eating the meat, you have to pay for the bread. So that's the insight of Rava. The Rava insight is, Kamashwan, the lechem chiyuva de balim hu, that the bread is still an obligation upon the owner.
Absolutely.
That's the obligation. And that's the insight.
So what's the deal? You got to eat the bread with the meat?
Yeah, it's
it's not together.
So, like, if you don't make it into a sandwich,
oh no, you don't make a sandwich. You eat the breads. You have to eat the breads. You can eat it separately.
Sandwich.
Now, the question is, who eats the breads? Obviously, it's the owner of the korban eats the breads, not the damaged party. So that's the halacha. The insight is when a korban tota damages, the insight is the owner still has to supply the breads, and that's what we have in our notes over here. Sugya 17. How are damages collected when a korban tota damages? Statement of Rava. If a korban tota damages, we collect from the meat, not from the bread brought with it. Question. This is obvious. Answer. The chidush, the insight, is in the end of his teaching, which says, let's put that in brackets, the victim eats the meat, and the miskaper, the one obliged to offer the korban, i.e. the damager, brings the bread. That's the insight.
Brings the bread. And who eats the bread?
No, it means he eats it, obviously. He pays for it and he eats it. He eats it.
The damage, the damager.
It's his bread. I don't have to...
So the damager eats
the meat?
And the bread.
No, the damaged party eats the meat. That's the payment. That's the payment.
Right.
The damager, it's his bread. He can do what he wants with it.
He eats it.
He can eat it all if he wants. Yeah. Right?
But the damaged party doesn't eat the bread.
He's not entitled to it.
But does he have to eat the bread? Like he has to?
No, he doesn't. The bread has to be eaten by anyone who's invited to eat. So the owner is still the owner of the animal.
He's the one who brought
it. The owner owns the animal. Now, you know, let's say in general you bring a korban shlomim, Larry. You know, there's no way, no matter what your appetite could be, you could eat all the meat that's in that korban shlomim.
It's a kiddush.
You're
going to
invite 20, 30 people.
It's a kiddush.
Remember, korban tot is a Thanksgiving offering that God saved you from a dangerous situation.
You're going to bring a lot of people.
That's why there's a lot of bread.
Sure. That's why you need friends, Larry.
That's why you have to have a lot of bread.
That's why you need friends.
I only need you.
40 breads, because you got to eat all the bread. Now, Larry, there's no way you can eat 40 breads. You're bringing a lot of friends over here.
Well,
so the owner of the korban...
Are they loaves?
The owner of the bread, the owner of the korban, even
loaves.
Though the damager is going to eat, damagee is going to eat all the meat, but the owner of the korban is still the owner of the korban. And now all the ancillary issues with that, which is the bread and all that, that belongs to the owner of the korban, the damager. So that's all his bread. He pays for it. He brings it. And if he wants to eat 40 breads by himself, hey, you can eat it. You can invite all other friends to eat it. And he doesn't have to give the guy who's getting the meat any bread.
What friend?
But he could give it.
He could give it.
He could.
He gives to anybody.
Yeah, so it's not an exclusion.
The question is who has to pay for the bread. So
yeah.
That's the point.
That's the point. Okay.
Point five. One might have thought that since the korban is invalid without the bread, the one who'll eat the meat must bring the bread and pay for it.
That's right. Okay.
He teaches this is not so. The bread is obligation to the owner of the korban.
Yeah.
So the resolution is, if a korban tota damaged, we collect from the meat, and the miskaper, the owner of the thing, must still bring the bread.
That's it.
All right, that was an easy sugya. All right, so Monday we will have class anyway, whoever's here, at 7:20. Davening's at 8 o'clock, only one minyan on Monday. So we'll have Mishnah Berurah at 10 to 7, for those who want to come from Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll have the Gemara class at 7:20. And Martin will have it up, certainly, by 10 o'clock. He'll have the class up, so everyone who's out of town will be able to get that class. Yes?
God willing.